As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Issues 2021. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita Public School Superintendent Dr. Elisha Thompson. Welcome to Issues 2021 again.
Well, thank you for the invitation again. I always look forward to coming and visiting with you.
We have some timely things to talk about. First, I just want to talk a couple of background questions. The fall semester has begun. Is USD 259 back to an all-classroom learning situation?
Yes, we are. We are all in. We have two types of learning going on here, is our in-person learning, and then we have actually our virtual school is still up and going, and that's the only opportunity we have for any type of online type of learning.
So that's what I meant. You're not 100% in the classroom then. You are.
We're 100% in the classroom. No doubt. We are 100% in the classroom. We actually started a new virtual program. We've always had a virtual program, but we kind of, upgraded it last year. And then we were able to continue to have our online school. So it's really an online school portion of our education. But the general population, we are all in school.
I see what you're saying. This is kind of just an augmenting type deal then, technically speaking.
Yes.
What are you going to do with all those computers you gave those kids to learn from home?
We're using them. it's been kind of cool. Over time, we've had a goal all along of trying to get to the one-to-one initiative in our school district and to close that digital divide. And the pandemic just kind of pushed us into making sure that happened a lot quicker. And so our teachers were ready. They've done a lot of training, and they continue to do a lot of training of how to continue to integrate the technology in everything that we do in our building. So our technology has been distributed back out to our students, and they're using it in the classrooms every day.
All right, so let's talk about the protocol in the schools regarding masks, which it seems like it's been changing a little bit since you started out this year. What's the deal on the masks right now, then, Dr. Thompson?
So the board has made the decision, our 7 board members made the decision that they wanted us to universal masking. So that means all of our students and our staff and anyone that enters into any of our buildings while we're inside the building will be masked. Anytime that students are out playing at recess and those kinds of things, they have the opportunity to take those masks off, and then as they're lining up and trying to move back into spaces indoors, we'll put the masks back on. So that is kind of where we are right now.
What about lunch?
Lunch. I guess you should take it off if you want to eat. So, yes, when you're eating, you definitely can take that mask off so that you can make sure that you're having the opportunity to put the food in the mouth, not on the mask.
Right, right. Hey, listen, and what about visitors? I know that you, from time to time, visitors come in. You're going to have some restrictions on them, aren't you?
Yes. We will resume our visitors in our buildings this year, but they will be required to mask up. And again, we will take names and that kind of thing, just in case we need to do any contract chasing or anything like that. We will keep track of who's in our buildings and that kind of thing to make sure that we continue to keep everyone that enters and our kids inside safe.
Obviously, that changed a few years ago, and if it became the campuses became a lot more closed to the general public after a few incidents. Understand that. Now, is there a mandate for teachers and other staff to get vaccinated?
No, we don't have any mandates for vaccination. However, we are going to continue to encourage our staff members alongside of any of the students that are 12 and under, with their parents' permission, of course. Anyone that would like to have that vaccination, we'll just make it easy for them to get. We'll just keep offering the vaccination clinics within our schools so that we have every opportunity to vaccinate whomever would like to have the opportunity to be vaccinated.
Now, let's talk about sports for just a second here. Can you demand that athletes and coaches get the shots?
We are not demanding anyone to take any shots. What we are doing is strongly encouraging people that are in athletics or taking, you know, out partaking in any activities. You know, it's recommended that you get that shot. So, of course, no mandating, no requirements, but we are recommending that you do.
Yeah, it's something I was thinking about while all this is going on. I remember when I enrolled my children many, many years ago and more recently grandchildren into schools. They had to have all these inoculations anyway. Why not throw just one more in there and have it done with, you know?
Yeah, we do. We do have a lot of required vaccinations already. This particular vaccine is not on the requirement list. So until that happens, we'll continue to just encourage people to do so. But we will not be requiring those as of today.
Now, let's talk about numbers for just a little bit. What is enrollment in USD 259 now? How many students you got?
You know, we are still, you know, our first week and a half, we continue to enroll our students. So we don't have an official enrollment number. But what we can tell you is that we are definitely, we talked a little bit last time, is that a lot of our early childhood children, kindergarten, first grade parents, you know, were really kind of having a difficult time enrolling their kids last year as we were still in the middle of the pandemic. But we're seeing a lot of those kids come back. So we are, our enrollment is looking, is right on target to kind of where we were before. But we don't have official numbers yet, so we can get those numbers to you as once they've been confirmed.
Yeah, but in the past, it's always been in the neighborhood of about 52,000-53,000 almost every year, right?
Well, last year, around that about, yes.
Yeah. And how many teachers and administrators do we have in USD 259?
Well, I can tell you the staff that we have. We have almost close to 9,000 employees within the public schools.
And that's everybody. That's not just teachers. It takes a lot of people to do that, right?
Yes, sir. We are definitely the people business. We work those people. We need people to work with kids.
Yeah. You know, for a guy who is terrible at math, I really like the numbers. Do you know how many teachers have been sickened with COVID over the past year?
Ooh.
No.
I have been sickened, but we have our recent numbers. And what I can tell you is that we, right now, as far as staff is concerned, and I'm not just talking about teachers, I'm talking about all of those 7,000 or so that we actually keep, had that number on track, was about 51 or 54 that have been just this, since we've been back of August the 2nd, that rolling number since August the 2nd. So that's where we are with staff.
We lost anybody? Lost any teachers or staff to the virus, Dr. Thompson?
None that I know of.
Really?
None.
How about that? Okay, now let's take another aspect of this, and that is the buildings themselves. You have a lot of buildings in USD 259. What's been done to improve those buildings and their ventilation?
Yes, we worked on that last year. So we have that 20% of the fresh air as a recommendation for what we need in and out of that fresh air, utilizing our HVAC units and those kinds of things. And so we are providing that opportunity for that ventilation within our schools in Wichita Public Schools.
All right. Now, you're listening to Issues 2021 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Wichita Public School Superintendent Dr. Alicia Thompson. Let's talk a little bit more about the pandemic. What impact has the pandemic had on student performance, specifically, has it had an impact on grades?
Absolutely, it has. So we know that our students, you know, they struggled with that remote learning. I will say, however, there were some students that performed better in that setting, hence why we saw an increase in our online learning for the fall, this fall. It just depends on the students, but we do know that the majority of our students did have difficulties just exclusively being online. And so we do have some work to do to work on that learning loss and get our kids back up to par.
You could just about predict that there would be a few that would just really love learning, cyber learning and from home, and some that wouldn't get it at all. They wouldn't care for it. I think you could predict that. Okay.
Yes.
Now what about test scores? Test scores go on, I'm sure. How are our Wichita students holding up on test scores?
We have not received any of our test scores from last fall. I mean, you know, so all that year we had, because a lot of our kids were remote, so we didn't have all of our kids taking assessments.
Okay.
So what we'll have is, it's going to be interesting. So we'll have a last year, a little bit of students the year before, and then a little bit for this year, and then last year, and then we'll have our full group taking assessments here this spring.
Well, what tests do you have? I mean, certain tests for certain, there used to be the Iowa test score or something like that. What are the
scores? You know, we actually do the state, we have the state assessments that's given to us by our state Department of Education to administer to our students. And so we test in reading, we test math, we test social studies, and we test science. So those are the tests that we take.
You know, one of the
for our state level,
right? And one of the interesting things about what we do in our public schools, and I know you've got your critics, you got a few out there who just think you people are just horrible. But you know, it's always amazes me when you stop to consider. Just the simple diversity of the student body in a public school like a Wichita, an urban public school, a tremendous different ethnic languages, all kinds of different situations to look at. Talk about that a little bit, Doc.
Yeah. It does create challenges for an urban setting because we have so, you know, when you have 109 languages spoken in the homes of your students, and they come to you with so many things. They come to you with experiences and all kinds of things. So what we do and what a lot of other school districts may or may not do is we always look to see how our children are growing. So when you keep talking about the state assessment scores, you know, those are kids that have come in and they may not have had some of the experiences and they may score a little bit differently on those state assessments. But what we are proud of in the Wichita Public Schools is as we're teaching our kids are making growth. They are making a year's worth of growth, and that is exactly what we are being asked to do. And our children are performing at the levels in which we would want them to be performing, many of them. What our challenge is in the urban school settings is closing achievement gaps. It's starting when you come in kindergarten. There are kids that have gaps as they enter into kindergarten. So it's really kind of extremely difficult sometimes for us to continue to work, to have two or three years worth of growth in some instances to close gaps for kids. And many kids, we do close gaps, but then there are some that continue to make that year's worth of gains. But our goal is always to continue to try to see if we can continue to close those gaps so that those kids can perform to the highest level on those state assessments.
So much of that has to do with what happens in a child's home, where they're starting out. As they come into that door, they're not robots. Every one of them comes from a different place. And I know there's in my home when my kids were growing up that we were reading early. We were doing those kinds of things early because my wife and I understood a child at the age of 3 or 4 can learn a whole lot, and you might as well start filling those little heads. But you have a different level for every child who comes through that door.
That's exactly correct. And some of them, and in many instances, have language barriers. So we have to also not only be able to give them a year's worth of growth, but we also have to teach them the language. And so all of those barriers, it's not really a barrier, actually. It's just actually just things that we deal with that are different maybe than some others, that causes us to kind of sometimes what you say, people look at those test scores and see things, but what they don't understand is what's behind those numbers and all of the wonderful things that are happening for kids every day in the Wichita Public Schools.
How will you operate this year regarding gatherings of people, as you know, sporting events, dances? What's going to happen there?
Yes, what we will do is we will continue to work with our county officials on that. And so as we think about athletic events, we visit with them. We talk about what our, you know, what the events look like, what are their expectations of us, and then we make those adjustments and recommendations to our teams and our schools as we learn what those credentials are. So as we think about outdoor sports, look different than indoor sports. Some sports have large numbers. Some sports have small numbers.
Yeah.
So again, it just depends on the sport and whether it's in or outdoors and all those kinds of things. And we just make the adjustments as we go.
I'm going to get controversial for just a second. I know you're aware of critical race theory. It's aroused some heat for schools around the country. How do you define CRT?
Well, to be honest with you, it is a theoretical framework that is used most of the time when you're talking about people that are going into the law, lawyers, wanting to be lawyers, or you're in a graduate program, doctoral program, when you're doing doctoral work. And it's really very, very complex to kind of explain. So that is one of the reasons why in Wichita Public Schools we don't use critical race theory at all, because that's not something that our district has available for teachers and students, and it is not part of the Kansas State Department of Education standards. And so we don't teach it here in the Wichita Public Schools.
So it's not required for your teachers to teach it. Is it used as a possible resource for them to look at outside the classroom?
We do not do that inside of our classrooms. We have helped teachers to understand what it is, because a lot of them ask, what is it, and am I teaching it? And, you know, a lot of teachers are concerned about that. So despite what some people may say, that we have things on our website, they are for our teachers. And our teachers have the opportunity to understand for themselves what critical race theory is, what it is, and what it is not. But we do not teach critical race theory in our classrooms, nor do we encourage our teachers to. And I will challenge anyone that if they ever heard of any teacher teaching critical race theory in our classrooms to let us know. But we do not teach critical race theory in our classrooms.
Sometimes people look at teachers and education, think that every one of these teachers is an automaton. They all think the same way. I know when I was growing up, you can kind of tell who were the Republicans and who were the Democrats. They all had their own. They didn't shove it down your throat, but you can tell every teacher is a little bit different in how they think. They're human beings.
I would agree.
Okay. Where are USD 259 in regarding school mascots? We've got North High is going to change. I understand, right?
Yeah, North High right now is just North High. They do not have a mascot at this time. What they wanted to do was to allow students and staff and family members were able to gather together, to be able to come together and talk about what that means for them and how they would like to move forward. So, of course, we changed the name of the Redskins was removed from that particular school. But we are not making any adjustments until we have the opportunity to visit with our constituents and our community in that community to see kind of how they wanted to move forward. So we're not ready to make any moves there until we're able to gather together.
Yeah, it's a great school. It's unique. Then even the architecture, it has to do with Native Americans, and that part of it I think is going to be lost. On the other hand, you got to see where people are coming. Whatever you come up with for a mascot at North, it's not going to please everybody.
No, it is not. So that's one of those things that, you know, again, you know, no decision was going to be pleasing for one way or another. So, you just have to look at what you have and kind of try to make the best decision that you think you can for the school.
Dr. Thompson, did you go to Heights High School here in Wichita?
I did. Yeah. I did Hollywood Heights. Yes,
there you go. Okay. We always assumed, you know, we really enjoyed the your mascot, the Heights Chicken, was one of our favorites.
Oh, no. You're going to get it from some of my classmates.
All right. You know, many businesses and governments facing a shortage of qualified workers as we try to work our way out of this pandemic. What's the situation with qualified workers at USD 24259?
Yes. Of course, we are no different than anyone else. The areas in which we are struggling the most, as we typically do, is with our bus drivers. We are struggling some with our paraprofessionals. And, of course, as we do most years, is our special education teachers. Those are the areas, again, that we are struggling with as we speak. And typically, we don't usually have many problems with our paraprofessionals, but we are this year.
When you talk about special education, you talk about a teacher who has to have a special certification to teach special ed. Is that right?
That is correct.
And it's not just for people who are challenged. It's others who are gifted as well.
That is correct. People think special ed is kids that have more challenges, but really it's around gifted. It could just be speech. You know, so special ed is a big gamut of things, but it's not always kids that have special kinds of needs.
A teacher in that situation, if they're thinking about it, I'm just speculating here. We'd probably say, "Hey, look, you're going to have smaller classrooms, and you're going to be a lot more of almost a one-on-one situation because of the nature of what you're doing." But yeah, it's going to be a tough job.
Yes. Typically, you know, our special education teachers, they have this specialized training, and whether it's in teaching kids how to do read differently, teaching kids how to do their math a little bit differently. So it's really just an opportunity for teachers they have those specialized skills to really have a variety of teaching strategies to be able to meet the needs of the types of students that they serve.
What's the biggest challenge you face in your job, Dr. Thompson?
Well,
don't say talking with the media people now.
No, it has changed. You know, I went into education because I'm an educator. Yeah. You know, I wanted to be a superintendent because I wanted to make a difference academically. But what I found myself moving into is a political arena. I never thought I would have to be politically savvy to be an educator. But that has become a big part of my job.
You know, and basically, it's not just you. I think that almost anybody in any kind of a public profession, you have to deal with that one way or the other, I guess. But that's a big challenge.
Yes.
What's the biggest reward? Is there any reward other than the fact you get to be around great people every day?
Well, and not only great people, but I also will say I found joy working with a lot of other community members and those kinds of things. Well, of course, I love my kids and the people that I work with every day, principals, teachers, you know, everybody, custodians, everybody. This district is just great and have good people. But another joy has been just to see how much our community have embraced us and have supported us during the last, going into the third school season that we've had to deal with COVID. People are stepping up to the plate and supporting. So that has been a joy for me.
Is there something that, a life lesson that you've learned, something from all of this pandemic and the situation over the past year or so?
Yes, the life lesson really is about, I've always looked through the lens of what's best for kids, but I've found that lesson is true for any situation, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's not a pandemic. You know, when you're looking at what's the best interest of your kids and your staff and your school district, you know, you have to just look at your data. I found that to be a great lesson, to always look at your data and use that to help you to drive what it is that you do politically or academically. Data always, you know, and again, everybody can find data to make it say what it wants it to say, so you can go there too. But I just found that being true to what it is of your why, of why you've gone into this profession, and utilizing integrity and those kinds, and having good character, will help you to be the best leader that you can be. So those are lessons that I've learned.
Doctor, thanks for being with us. Our guest is Wichita Public School Superintendent Dr. Alicia Thompson. That's all for this edition of Issues 2021. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.